Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
If Adam never disobeyed God, humanity would have been perfect. Meanwhile, I submit to you that Adam never touched the zenith of his experience in God. He did not. And that's why Jesus, God had to come as Jesus. And the Bible calls him in 1 Corinthians 15, the second man. He said the first man is of the earth, earthly. He said, but the second man is the Lord from heaven. Are you forgetting what I'm trying to say? It simply means the first man was supposed to become like the second man. Who is the second man? The Lord from heaven. Because the Bible said to us in Genesis that God created man in his what? And what? Meaning the first man was supposed to be like the second man originally. But because of disobedience, the first man never touched the zenith of their experience. And that's why Jesus, the second man, had to come. Why did he come? So that the first man would become like the second man. Because that was the actual dream of God. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And through this kind of human beings, people like himself, you will make up a kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. That was what God wanted in the beginning. And that's what he wants today. The vision has not changed. Why did Jesus come? For the sole purpose of the kingdom. Who makes up the kingdom? You and I. Except we are like Jesus, we cannot properly make up the kingdom. And that's why Paul said that we are more like lively stones, like blocks, put together to make up the building of the kingdom. Are you listening to me tonight? Meaning that if there are 10 people in this place and 9 of them are full of fire and one is not, that one cannot be part of the blocks of the kingdom. Because you become more like a vulnerable part of the building. Are you listening to me tonight? Are you guys getting what I'm trying to explain to you now? But you see, he has made it very, very easy. He came, he became a way for us. He is a truth and the life we should experience. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? All these big things we have said is accessible in Jesus Christ by grace. He died for us. He was buried for us and resurrected for us. Not so that we are weaklings. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? But that we are strong like Jesus or like himself in Christ Jesus. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Glory to God forevermore. Amen. Not that you are a weakling. Say, I'm not a weakling. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Shout it again. Say, I'm not a weakling. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. So the agenda for the new creation is to the end that a kingdom finds expression on earth as it is in heaven. A kingdom. But Satan has brought an alteration through a false doctrine. I'll just hit the nail on the head. That is why you see Paul warning Timothy in the book of 2 Timothy. He said, be careful for there are doctrines of devils on the earth. Doctrines of demons suggesting that you can be in Christ and still live like the world. Because you see, if you truly don't understand what Jesus has done for you, if you truly understand what Jesus has done for you, one of the things that will never be found in your life is sin. That the grace of God has appeared toward all men, teaching them how to what? The word teaching in the original simply means to construct you, capacitate you as a man that finally can say no sin, no Satan. All right? That as you sit in church now, the Bible says Ephesians 4. In Ephesians 4 from 10 down through 14, it said the fivefold ministry. Whatever God has put in the church, all the structures, all the principles, is to the end that you are perfected like the man Jesus. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? We use the word of God to teach you and make you become like Jesus. So that at the end you can say what? No to Satan. That man that can say no to Satan is the proper kind of block that fits for the kingdom, for the building of the kingdom. But if you cannot say no to Satan, that simply means the workings of grace has not been actualized in your life. Grace has not finished having its full course on your life. Because, you see, the algorithm is this, that the blood of Jesus washes you. Jesus, by his death, burial and resurrection, will capacitate you. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus is what God will use to capacitate you as a man that can stand as a citizen of the kingdom. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say now? Take for instance, I always quote Romans 6. It says we died with Christ, we were buried with Christ, and we what? Resurrected with Christ. And in verse 6 and 7, it says, while we were crucified with Jesus on the cross, what happened? The old man was done away with. You see that? So you see that through the sacrifice of Jesus, everything that can make you stand, that will probably threaten, all right, your citizenship in the kingdom is removed. Anything that has the potency to make sure that you are in the kingdom and are breaking rules is removed. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Do you guys understand what I'm trying to say? I'm not telling you what you are supposed to become. I'm telling you who you are so that you become it. You start working in the reality of it. I hope you understand that we were not given rules. We were given life because we were dead. So now we have a new life. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? It's not like we're made better. We're given life because we're dead without Christ. Hallelujah. Jesus said, I have come that you may have what?
Life.
And life in its fullness. Now you have life. What I'm calling forth for you right now is so that you begin to live the life you have. You will know the truth and the true word. Start living the life that's already on your inside. You are not given rules. You are not called to be better. You are called to be new. Say, I'm new. I'm new in the name of Jesus. All things are gone. Every old thing is gone. But Satan is fighting very difficult, very, very hard, I mean, to making sure that this kingdom agenda, this new creation agenda, which is a kingdom, is not actualized. For instance, Paul told us in 1 Corinthians 6 and 9, he says to us that, don't you know that all forms of unrighteousness and sorcery cannot inherit the kingdom? He said, neither fornicators, nor what? Idolaters, nor what? Nor what? Nor what? He said they cannot inherit the kingdom. Satan is the reason why people will feel like they are new creations, they are in church, yet they want to sin. He will make sure, in fact, for some, he has made them to feel as if sin should become a norm. They are okay with sin. He tells them, whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. You see irresponsible people even rising in church. Some you cannot even speak to them. A point comes. Paul warned in scripture. He said in the last days, people will become so disobedient. So stubborn. It's the spirit of the Antichrist. Nobody can talk to them. Meanwhile, he has said to us that for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Are you listening to me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. Now focus and listen carefully. Like I've warned. Don't allow Satan to distract you. Lovers of themselves. I was meditating yesterday and the Lord told me. He said, for those who are not ready to learn. For those who are, let me say it the way I wrote it in my jotter. He said, God will never give you anything you are in faith for at the detriment of your soul. This is why it is with faith and patience that you must obtain the promise. He said, if you are willing to get it God's way, Moses, your pastor, will become an enemy. He said, if you are unwilling to get it God's way, Moses, your pastor, will become an enemy. You will need an Aaron whose sermon will align with that idol in your heart. You will need what? And which wills what? Someone will align with the idol. Remember what they said. Say, create for us an idol. Because Moses was hard on them. He said, we're going to get it God's way. We must do it the way God wants us to do it. And I tell you, the Moseses in this generation are the pastors who see so much trouble. It has to be done God's way. But those that help you to create the idols in your heart, a lot of times are the ones you love. Like Paul will say, they are with itchy ears, looking for somebody to say what they want to hear. Are you listening to me tonight? I see what the devil is trying to do in this generation. I tell you, it's terrible. It's very, very terrible. So funny. You know, I heard Dr. Caris one time, he was saying something. He said, those we warned about marrying wrongly, he said, now they are the ones on early morning prayer saying, I submit my husband at the altar. I submit my husband at the altar. They were never listening. Now they are submitting their husband at the altar. There are a lot of potentials in your heart that you should explore. Become a woman of greatness. But now, what you are doing is you are a prayer warrior in your house. Instead of exploring the potentials in your life, you are submitting your husband at the altar. That's your work now. That's your ministry. You are trying to build your husband. It's a shame. All the things God has put in your heart now, you will never become it. Because your number one vision is to make sure your husband is not cheating on you. You are submitting him. He's like a goat that will not listen. So you are submitting him at the altar. Let there be a sacrifice. Every morning you are shouting. If your husband travels to his state, you start shouting, "Hey, Father Lord, block the eyes of all the girls." Why? Because you never were listening. Have you heard people who are celebrating 30 years and 40 years of marriage before? Huh? Have you heard them? Do you hear the things they say? Have you ever heard anyone say, "I want to thank God for my husband. The reason why this marriage has worked is because he's a sexy man. He's a hot man. His skin is blinking." Or you've heard any man say, "The reason why this marriage is working is because of the shape of my wife. Dear Jesus, my wife, when she moves every morning, I feel like staying more 50 years. Have you heard anybody talk like that? You'll be hearing things like patience. "My husband is very patient with me. He's so family, the way he takes care of the kids. My wife, the way she raises, take care of the children. The way she talks to me, the way she give me." You will not hear anything physical. It is at this age you'll be hearing people shout. Shout. "I love his lips. I love her waist." He's at this age. And that's why finally most of them will divorce. And you see one thing the devil is doing right now. He's making divorce look like a normal thing. There are some people right now who are saying that if I marry him and he does like that, I will divorce. They are already prepared to divorce. You don't know what you are doing. What you are saying. Watch women that finally divorce. Life never remained the same with you. "I'm divorced with 3 kids and you're looking for another man. I'm divorced with 2 kids and you're looking for another." Do you want your life to be like that? Why not stay with one man forever and ever? Is that possible? Is that God's design? Yes. Are you listening to me tonight? And you hear that a young man is not married, but he has 2 children from 2 different women. They call it baby mama. In fact, you hear people aspiring to be baby mamas. What an atrocity. "So I don't want to marry any man. I just want to become a baby mama for one man." People look at themselves like rags. Say, "You see, Davido, I wish I can be a baby mama for him." You look at yourself like a rag, a common thing. Because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. How would you want to become a baby mama? You, the new creation. Look at what God created. Looking down on themselves. Because you are yet ignorant. The Bible says, "My people are perishing for lack of what? Knowledge." They are selling sin as a norm. Selling it on TV stations. People without shame. Today we have people showing nudity online and we have many billions of people watching, and that's their favorite program. Removing Christianity, where are the days of morality being emphasized? Hard work being emphasized? Where a lady will make first class and the whole nation is celebrating her? Are you listening to me? Something is happening to humanity. Something is happening. Can we boast about a generation that will come 10 years after now? Our children's children or our children, and say their generation will be 10 times better? Can we boast about that? There are sins you must sow today. Are you listening to me tonight? There are sins you must sow today to see a better tomorrow, not just for yourself, but for your children. That's why I'm always telling people, I am not one pastor that believes in all of this rubbish we call new creation. You see people in church with earrings and different kind of rubbish way of living. A man is putting nose rings and they call it new creation. What hope do we have for a generation 2 decades from now? That when we read the Bible, we talk about Paul. When we hear about God's generals in this nation, we talk about impact. How they change cities. But when we're talking about our generation, we're arguing whether tattoo is right or wrong. What a shame. It is Satan that is trying to alter the agenda of God. My pain is that those that call themselves the new creation are the ones looking like rat puppet before Satan. He's trying to paint a picture. He's trying to paint a wrong picture. He's trying to paint a wrong picture. When Jesus was speaking in the book of Luke, he said, I cannot put new wine. I'm trying to paraphrase. I think we should look at that scripture together. The last part of that scripture was what got to me. He said, I will not put new wine in old wineskins. Let's see together. Luke 5. Media, help me with the scripture. Just put it for me up there. Just give me the Luke's rendition. All right, keep on reading. No, just give me the next part of scripture. No one puts new wine in old wineskin, okay? But new wine must be put into new wineskin and both are preserved. Next part of scripture. And no one having drunk old wine immediately desires what? For he says the old is better. Jesus has come for the new. Yet there are people telling us the old is better. You know why the old is better for them? Because the new wine has not even found expression yet. Why? There's no new wineskin. What we are calling new wineskin now is rubbish way of living. Rubbish way of living. There was a time in church that you cannot do some kind of dressing, wear some kind of clothes. Now we are thinking Jesus has given us freedom without parameters. And that's what we are calling new creation. When you go to a church that all the boys are putting earring now, you say new creation church. Rubbish. That's why we do all those things. No power. No power of the Holy Ghost. Nothing to show. Then these guys who are drinking the old wine, they've tested, they are drunk with the old wine. They are not seeing any reason to plug into what we are believing as new creation. You look at a man that have seen God walk in his generation, even though the doctrines are wrong, but purity is intact. Then you come and say, sir, new wine. You need to become a new wineskin for the new wine. And he looks at you up to down. There's no reason why you should plug into your gospel. Because all he's seen is dyed hair, earrings, and nose. As a man, not as a woman. Because it's not wrong for a woman. He's seen earrings, rings everywhere. You are in chains. Is Satan pushing an agenda to spoil whatever God wants to bring in this era? It's dangerous. You know, some people think that if you are doing a wrong thing, God will just come and strike you. Or a sign will come from everyone and say, this one is false. Not the God I serve. In fact, he said in the book of Matthew 7, he said, finally, I will say, away from me, you workers of iniquity. Even though you healed in my name, it's dangerous. You healed in my name. This is what people are selling to be the gospel. No matter what you do, if you speak the name of Jesus, things will shift. But finally, you'll be told by God himself that you are a what? And he will tell you, I never watch. Just like a good father now. I have a son. Or you have a son. Or whatever. Imagine a man with a son misbehaving. If the boy comes back house, will he eat food? Huh? How many of you have lived a wrong life and your father still went and beat you out? He will go there and still talk. He will not even try to show your sin. As long as you are his child, he's going to remove you from the problem. Go back home and still warn you that thing you are doing is wrong. You enter the trouble the next day, your father will still show up. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Does it mean that your father is affirming your character? Now, if you misunderstand that love of your father, saying that because of any time you do a wrong thing, he's showing up, what will happen to you finally? You'll be destroyed. God is our father. And anytime we sin, he will still come for us. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He will still help us, but he's not affirming that wrong lifestyle. Take for instance a man that has a son. He told the son, don't dress anyhow. Don't do this anyhow. And probably the man is a pastor. And they catch his son putting nose rings and earrings and everything. And they think he's a Yahoo boy. The father will come and try to remove his son from the prison. Isn't it? Huh? What if the son now goes home and says, my father loves me. He's okay with me. He interprets the releasing from the prison as the father being okay with him. Will he be destroyed? Will he be destroyed finally? Yes. God will always show up no matter how you live your life. He will show up. He is your present help in times of need. That doesn't mean he's affirming the rubbish you are doing. I see one thing with God. He can cover, he will hide cover sin very well. Nobody knows how to cover mistakes like God. Moses did rubbish. Water still came out. He did not complain. He left everybody to drink water and finish. Say, Moses, why did you do like that? He did not do the right thing. He promised him that if you do this, water will come out for the people to drink and for yourself. Moses went and did another thing. God did not say anything. He just brought the water out. As people were drinking, Moses drank two and went and sat down and said, but that's not what I told you to do. But the question is, why did water still come out? Why did water still come out? Is it okay, punishment for you? When he drank water, people are drinking water, him, there's what? Punishment. He said, because of how angry you are, you will not enter the promised land. Because that's not what I told you to do. God, you would have just told me that what you are doing now is the wrong way. Do it again. Are you listening to me tonight? Let me show you something in scripture. Do you know, finally, Lot ended up the wrong way. He ended up in a cave. He ended up miserable. But the Bible calls Lot a righteous man. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? You know, he had an issue one time with Abraham. Can you remember in scripture? He was trying to be so greedy. Took Abraham's share. Abraham said, let's share. Lot, who was the junior, Abraham said, okay, you be the first to carry. Lot did not say, no, senior brother, be the one to. He said, no. Okay, I'll carry. Lord started picking the best. They were sharing property. Junior brother is picking the best. When he picked, Abraham did not say anything. And I said, Abraham, I would have left this other one, but my wife will need it when she gives birth to the boy. He carried another thing. After carrying the best, he was still carrying. Abraham was just quiet. He said, keep on carrying. You know, Abraham was leveraging on the promise of God. God had told him something. And he doesn't want to allow this rubbish right now to what? Alter what God has said to him. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? He was living by the word. And Lord carried the best and left. But where did Lord end finally? You know what I'm trying to pass to you? That sometimes you are the righteous. If you become stubborn today and leave this church, you are still the righteous. But like Lot, I tell you, there will be a difference at the end. Abraham was a righteous man. Lot was a righteous man. Be sleeping with women as a Christian, you are still righteous. Whatever you do in the flesh does not matter indeed. Keep on sleeping with women. Or keep on sleeping with men. You are still righteous. You can stand up and shout, and the righteousness of God, nobody will argue with you. Indeed you are. Keep on taking anything you want like Lot. Finally, where did the righteous end? The righteous man, Lot, end. In a cave. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Where did Abraham end? He became the father of many generations. Because there are people who have misunderstood grace. They've misunderstood grace so much. Doing rubbish in the name of grace. I am under grace. Doing rubbish with their life. Talking anyhow, drinking anyhow, womanizing anyhow, manizing anyhow, in the name of I'm under grace. Listen, somebody has to tell you the truth. Are you listening to me? I was listening to a pastor. He said he was in the US. He was preaching somewhere. And he saw all the young men dressed anyhow. After service, they were smoking. He passed somewhere. He saw the instrumentalists. The instrumentalists were smoking. And he said to himself, no, nobody was around him that time. So he went to them. The pastor was not aware. He went to them. He said, why are you people smoking? Why are people not the ones playing for me now? And he started ministering to them. They dropped the cigarette and started crying. And they repented. And he took them to the pastor. He said, pastor, I just spoke to your boys and they are crying. They repented. What have you been doing? He said, no, they used to hire them. And they were, you know, in US, you have to be careful. These boys, they don't really care. Blah, 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 blah. But another person came and had the impetus to tell them the truth. What happened? They changed. You know, sometimes we assume as preachers or as Christians You see somebody doing a wrong thing, you are saying, I don't want to tell him so that he will be angry. Probably has been waiting for somebody to tell him. We are seeing rubbish every day, and it's not nice. We are wondering what will happen to the next generation. A young boy at 16 has started drinking anyhow. Somebody is 20, he has tasted almost all their colleague drinks. And they are telling him it's okay because he watched his father do it. You know, one time, years ago, as I was, you know, a single person in my compound, my landlord was living with us. And there was, these children always like to come around me. And the man drinks. But I was not aware because he does it in his room. So one day I was teaching the children, the firstborn, and some of the children, the boys, they came around. So I was teaching them the word of God. And they started asking me about alcohol. So I taught them about alcohol and everything. They said, what if, they now call the name of a particular drink. What if, sir, what if you are drinking so-so thin and the percentage is this? I looked at the boys. How did they know that particular drink? So I asked them, do you people drink? Say no. We're asking because we want to know that we'll go and tell our father whether he's sinning or not. I tell them that, I don't tell them, I said the meeting is over. I just know that alcohol is not a good thing. The meeting is over. I couldn't stop laughing that night. You know, I want to go and tell landlord so that he will add the rent for me. Daddy, Pastor Simon said we should tell you that taking this drink is a sin. Blah, 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 blah. I taught them already, so they have a choice. And many people, you know, I was teaching in the workers' training. I said, you see young ladies, small children, 16, 20. You see them living like one auntie that is 35. Looking like a 35-year auntie. I'd be wondering, what is wrong? It's because at that age, they are trying to live the life of somebody that is married. Some of them are in a man's house. And that's what they are selling online these days. There's a young man called, is it Pella or something? I see online once in a while. And I see the number of young people following that guy. And I'm wondering, because one day, I told you, I was telling my wife, one morning, I saw a video where a lady who he stays with, I think her name is Jarvis. And they were in the kitchen, and he was opening his towel for her. So I told my wife, I said, what rubbish is this? And it was a TikTok live. And when I checked the comment section, the young people were like, oh, Jarvis. They were just commenting nice comments. Meaning they were okay with what they just saw. I said, this is a threat to our generation. Something is wrong. That young people will see something like this and they are happy. You'll be hearing things, oh my Jarvis, what have you seen? Something is wrong somewhere. You know, there was a generation, I don't want to emphasize that, there was a generation that if this kind of thing happened, they will block you. They will report you. That generation is called the millennials. But you see this Gen Z generation, I think Satan has taken a special course to focus on this generation. A special course. He took Satan 909. Because the mind they are having, the mind this generation are having, the mind. No wonder no generation has a high rate of suicide like this generation. Any small thing, trauma. I don't deserve to live again. There's no point living. At age 16, life has tired you. 16, you have not even started. They've not owned the engine. Life has tired you. That's why these days, if you observe young men too, men of 35, 32, 33, if you ask them, who do you want to marry, they will tell you 30. They are tired. Those days, you see a man of 35 saying he wants to marry a lady of 25 or 21. But these days, you ask a man of 35, what kind of a lady do you want to marry? He will say, firstly, she should be 30. If she's even 34. Even 35 like me, and I see now a month, I don't have a problem. See what this? I was talking to somebody in my office. I'm telling you the fruit of my discussion. He was telling me that, you see what these small girls are? I cannot. They nearly kill me. See, sir, he even told me, sir, do you have any girl that is around 30 something in your church? I said, I've not asked. He said, please, sir, if you have, let me know the name. I will connect me. I said, no, I don't connect people. He said, you go and look for. You'll be asking. He's looking for a 30-something. I was so shocked. Why? Because he has tried 20-something. They want to use wig and finish it. Or 20-something don't always used to have data. I was judging a relationship problem one time. And the guy has done so much things for the lady. Then the next day she now said, can you please sub for me? He now said, the money I gave you, so, what have you used the money to do? Then she now got offended. I said, you should sub for me. People are subbing for their common sub. What is in sub? He now got offended. He said, I'm not going to sub. Let the wars happen. If I sent you some money, why will you be telling me to sub for you now? Just one day, not less than 24 hours. After I give you the money I gave you, I should sub for you. He refused. It now became a problem. They blocked him. She got offended and blocked him. So he came to report to me. I said, let me see. I saw the chat. Whatever he was saying was true. I said, the thing shocked me. So something happened. Firstly, the lady does not have the word in her heart. Secondly, that lady is not making money for herself. If you are making money for yourself, if you are sewing clothes, and at the end they'll give you 50,000. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If a man send you 10,000, you will call him and be telling your elder sister to help you thank him. Say, sister, help me thank him. He sent me 10,000. You know you are that grateful. You have worked for money before. You know what it means to remove 10,000 inside your money and give somebody. But you see, the ones that commit atrocities, they don't work for money. What is an atrocity? They wake up with the money. Honey, there's one wig I saw. That's an atrocity. Because you are not working for money. You see, you are painting a picture that you don't want to marry a responsible woman. You want to marry a Yahoo boy. You want your hair to be used. That's the picture you are pointing. You are painting. How can you look at a man growing with you? That guy just finished university 2 years ahead of you. You are telling him to buy you a wig of 500K. From money he's saving to marry you. And you are not ready to take it easy. They have wear wig, you man, you wear wig. As long as they have wear, you wear. As if in Okpoga, they were wearing wig. Oh, Okpoku. Oh, Zakibiam. You that is used to Shuku and Shade and police cap. But what we want to settle down for now is weak. A responsible man will never want to see you cross the front of his house. He will not. If he hears Victoria is coming, he will say, please block everywhere. He doesn't want to see you around his life. No responsible man will want that kind of a woman. That's why most young women, most of them are marrying rubbish. Most of them, before you know, they have divorced. And most of them are in hell or heaven. They will hardly be in heaven. Wait till carry you go man house. You went to fornicate, they cut your hair. You will be in hell now. Let's be realistic. You know, sometimes we're emotional when people die. You carry your 2 legs, you enter a hotel. They come and they see buffet and your head at the side. Don't answer, say, hey, Abigail was a good girl. For where? You are fornicating. And they have removed your head. So why do we think you go down and say this, your sins will enter the man's way? How? Your sin have cost your head. You know you have to tell people this thing. One time in Abuja, they carry a lady's head on sack. And we're moving with it. If you were hearing word, if you follow that guy that had a job of 150 and built with him, who will cut your head? He won't protect anybody from touching your head. But you now, who do you want to marry? you look at a lady, she's earning less than 50,000, some of them. Or the oil perfume she's selling has not even produced 20,000 yet. She has never had 20,000 profit. But I want to marry a man whose salary is around 600K to 1 million. What of your father? How much is his salary? What level is your father working as a civil servant? What is his salary? That's why if you go to most churches, you see women putting, raising their pictures, their husband picture and children's picture. They don't want to settle down and marry the right men and men marrying the right women. Especially women for men. Don't want to settle down. You don't want to suffer small. So me, I cannot suffer. My mother suffered. I cannot suffer. So you are better than your mom? Are you listening to me tonight? You know, many women don't understand this hack. If you stand at the back of a man and push him, you will be the first partaker of that blessing when he finds expression. The first partaker and the number one partaker. You hear me sometimes always saying that I'm going to create a store where my wife will be, they'll be making jewelry for her. Like she will enter on a Sunday and will say, Mama, what type do you want us to make? And she'll make something like W. And we'll make it immediately and she'll wear it and come for service. You think I'm joking when I said I'll do things like that? Because I've seen her stay with me through the thick and the thin. So one of my ambitions is that, one of my dream is that when I grow so much in wealth, she will enjoy the money more than anybody in my life. First partaker. Me, I had sense when I was going on campus, if you like money, you will never see me say hi to you. Even hi. You will never see me say hi. There are ladies I respect. I've never asked BSU people, who have you ever heard that they say Prophet Simon went and say hi to unnecessarily? When I see the kind of wig we are wearing, am I mad? Even evangelism used to be hard for those kind of people. You see me say, Jesus loves you. We look up the church. They say, no, okay, it's not. You know, one time I went to evangelize to certain people and they looked at me. They were chewing gum, five of them or four of them in college. I said, can I talk to people about Jesus? They're like, I said, no, it's just Jesus I want to talk to you people about. Nothing more, nothing less. If I'm not dressed like a boy that is ready to scoop anybody, I just wear my parker shirt, I stuck in, and I hold my Bible. I say, can I teach people about, can I talk just 3 minutes? They were chewing gum. And one turned to me and hissed. I just did my leg like this. Jesus said, dust your... I left. I said, God, chewing gum girls. There was one on second camp. In second camp, the lady finally came to church. When I reminded her, she just put her hand on her head. She was passing and I wanted to invite her for fellowship. I just saw the Spirit of the Lord say, invite her. So I went to her and said, excuse me. Say, please. I said, hey. I turned to the left and right. I hope nobody saw me. And I ran. She just said, excuse me, please. Please. I went to sit somewhere and I looked at her. I said, hey, I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not. It is the power of God. I'm not ashamed. Have they ever disgraced you for the gospel's sake? Count it all joy. Like you wanted to talk, they say, my friend, would you get out? All these fake prophets. Just go. These are things you go to heaven with. They give you badge. When you just enter heaven, God will say, no, you should be a class prefect. Go to that side. You have a badge. You are wounded for my sake. Are you listening to me tonight? Count it all joy. In conclusion, what am I trying to say? Don't allow Satan weigh you down. New creations. New creations. New creations. Don't allow Satan weigh you down. Don't allow him. If you are a fornicator, when you go back home today, go and change. People are laughing. I'm not calling him a fornicator. Just a coincidence that I'm hitting him. Go back. Say, I found grace. I'm changing. You know, on campus, you know why some people like me? I know how to say the truth. There's a young boy, he's in UK now. Always messaging me. I've been having a lot of benefit from him. He says, sir, there's this girl I'm living with. She's a good woman. She's so supportive. I looked at him. He's in 200 level. He knows supportive woman. Say, sir, she does not have a place to say, we've been staying together for Monday leave. But I love her. I want to spend the rest of my life with her. Sir, would you advise that I push her away or keep on staying with her? I said, I advise you rent her house. He said, no, sir, where we are staying is there's boho, there's this, there's that. But what may I have now is 50K. And probably she may not have some of these facilities there. I now said to him, if she didn't have one naira, she has no option. Now, should I repeat what I just said? If she had no one, if she didn't have one naira, she has no option. Go and rent her space. There, sometimes when you don't do things like that, people will not grow. I say, rent her a space where there's toilet outside without your money. Let her share, wait for her turn to bath. She will appreciate growth. Instead of staying with her in this wonderful place, except you want to leave and go there and leave her here. But God's will is never that you people stay alone. And I ask him, should be as people are staying alone, you separate yourselves. You created a barricade. You don't touch yourself. And I said, sir, I'll be real. You know, I like being real. I knew where he was going to. I said, don't tell me. I already know. You cannot keep a cat and a what together. It's not possible. I said, separate yourselves. Because the fornication that have happened here now is only God that can help us. Separate yourselves. It's not possible. I'm talking now. It's as if I'm Babalola. I'm preaching. Now in this generation, they make it sound sweet. Separate yourself. No man who is fornicating with you today will want to marry you. I tell you the truth. They are high. See, if as I'm talking now, I know you'll be saying, is it like, I know my man. Your man knows what I'm saying. He will not admit to, because you people are, he will not admit what I'm telling, but the man knows me. I know what I'm saying. If the man can meet, I'm sure if he's a good man, he'll come and meet me after service as a pastor. That you said not true. How do I break up? No man who you are fornicating with will want to end up with you. No man. Because see finish, you know that language, because see finish, it has entered. What has he not seen? He has gone to the holiest of all. He is seated together with you in the deepest realm of glory. What has he not seen? What is new about you? That's why when they quarrel with you, they'll say, is it not you? What, Jennifer, what have you to offer? That's why they can raise their hand and give you poi and pack your things and throw outside. But the Bible had a Lord. God created a Lord. He said, her desire will be for her husband. I know some of you are saying, but I did not marry. When you have intercourse with somebody, you have become one. In the realm of the spirit, your real husband is the one you slept with. The only thing that can change it is what? The fact that you are in Christ and a new creation. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? And there's mind renewal. Else, that person you slept with, most ladies, if you remember, that's why they always say the first person you slept with, you will never forget. Your desire, they are beating you, you still want to go there. It's an embargo, it's Satan that is causing that. Somebody who has almost break your eye, you are still daydreaming about the person. You caught him with another lady, yet you are still crying at home. Johnson, why? Johnson, why? I wish I can go back to Johnson. Listen, it is because of the law of the spirit. But tonight, if you allow the Holy Spirit, he can break that embargo. Are you guys getting what I'm trying to say? He can break it. Wake up. The grace of God has appeared to all of us, teaching us how to say what? No. No. No, Satan. No. We want to change the world. We pass from trying to rise above sin. We are standing in Christ. Paul told Timothy, he said, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Tell somebody, be strong. Be strong. They say, body not be firewood. Who is the person that said that rubbish? That everybody must sin. Who said that rubbish? The Bible said, if the same spirit that has raised Jesus from the dead dwells on you, what would that spirit do? It will quicken your mortal body. It will quicken it. It will quicken it. You wake up in the morning, my body has been quickened. Because the Holy Ghost, he lives in me. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Holy Spirit. It will keep you. The word of God will sustain you. That's what I'm talking about. Why do you think a man will see a lot of women and no one to cheat? I know know some of you have a perspective already. Out of the abundance of men you've dated, you have concluded that all men have come. It's not true. God has men. God has men. You are the one, your eyes too, is entering things that are unnecessary. Loss of the eyes. If you see money, you are follow. If you see chairs, you are follow. God have men. Some of them, they are like this. He has men. I know you are shocked when I say like that. Some of them, prayer disfigured them. They are like this. But you see, the good news is that that chest can be straight. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's a matter of time. It's not a death sentence. When you marry them and give them the right food and rub their ear well and say, honey, go to gym. You think Pastor Ed one day will not enter gym? There's a way you talk to Oche, he will enter gym. And all you get is not what you are seeing right now. Don't be sweet. Don't be swayed. Are you listening to me? Don't be swayed. I'm talking about a generation that will rise knowing that just looking simple is perfect. We don't need to put all the chains. You know, one time my friend said, when they used to sing, I hear the chains falling. That it was in the congregation. He was singing, I hear the chains. And he saw people on chains. He said, why is it not falling? There's chains on the leg. In fact, some when they jump, you hear cha 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 cha. There's chains on the waist. Paul spoke about modest apparel. Somebody say, I don't like this pastor. He's too forward. Should I be too backward? You know, I've preached somewhere before. Right? I preached somewhere before. And while I was talking, I said something. The man there was so shocked. I said, I see a lady here. You are in the prayer unit. I see you following women, not men. I see you with the speed of lesbianism. The man of God looked at me, what kind of eye? Because I say you are in the prayer unit. So the lady did not come out. Of course, those days I was still young. I was not supposed to do it like that. I was supposed to say, see me after church, because it was going to disgrace them. And you as a man of God can forgive them, but their fellow congregation will not forgive them. Say, maybe Esther be that. Now Esther and I didn't call like this. Jesus Christ. So Esther now, lesbian. Hey, whoa. No wonder. He get away, she didn't touch me. Oh. And after you are done praying, and we believe that it has been broken, Esther's life will never remain again. The same again. See a lady coming, and Esther just mistakenly touched her hand. Like, I beg, oh, Esther. I beg. So we call it personal prophecy. We see them personally and we counsel them. Only God forgives and forgets too. It is difficult for human beings to forget. Even if they forgive. They forgive and create caution. No go that side. Are you listening to me tonight? Simple and perfect. A generation that will go out from this place and go and change their campus. Am I talking to that generation today? They will go back home and change their places of work. Change everybody. Raise powerful families. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? They only desire the will of God for their lives. A generation that will change this nation tomorrow. Am I talking to that generation? As I'm talking now, you are going back home, some of you are going to break up. You go back, what will you do? You break up. You think they are doing you a favor by entering that relationship. They are not. If you know who you are the favored of the Lord. There's this song that says, favor surrounds us. Like a sheet, 247. You are favored of the Lord. You cannot be in a relationship where they are managing you. How can you be managed? They are managing you. You have caught him like 3 times. You still want to manage the relationship. You feel like you are worthless. Listen to this. Even if you have had several abortions, leave. That's not where you're supposed to be. You know, I say seven. Some people are like, hey, God forbid. As pastors, we have heard the craziest things. The craziest things, we have heard it. You see us behave like it is okay. Only for the people to go outside, we'll be like this. Really? I've had cases. Even if you have had seven, boldly leave. Where there is no purpose, relationship is useless. That's why the only thing that happens there is kiss. Kiss. Where are you going to? She don't know. Where are you going to? You don't know. So the relationship is full of kisses and immorality. And tomorrow you want to tell your children that be like your mommy. New Christians, are you listening to me? I came here to preach something more deeper than this. I don't know why the Lord just cut me short and I'm talking like this. I believe it's for somebody. Are you listening to me tonight? You need to go back home and quit certain things. The grace of God has appeared to you all. And you can do it. You can do all things through Christ who has strengthened you. And let me say this last thing before we go. For some of you who are new creations, listen to me carefully. All of you, I believe you are new creations. Sometimes you go through tough seasons in your life that will prove the word of God. Let me use one person to explain something to you, Joseph. Imagine you have been serving God faithfully and you have been confessing you are a new creation. And you were now given an opportunity to serve Potiphar. That's a big job, isn't it? And all of a sudden you were framed up. For the name of the Lord, you refuse to sleep with Potiphar's wife. You refuse because you wanted to honor God. And when you refuse, maybe they take you to court. And you now say, now let God prove that he is God and king in this court. Let him shut down this court now to prove that I'm his own. And when you are done, nothing like that happens. Where are you going to again? Prison. For your dream, you first were thrown into a well, sold to slavery, got a better job, was giving God praise before you finish. You are framed up. Now you are in prison. You are wondering where your life is going to. How many of you have been there before? Wondering, where is this life going to? Now tell somebody, God cannot mismanage your life. Trust the faithfulness of God. Turn to another person and say, God cannot mismanage your life. Trust the faithfulness of God. Outside, are you here? What do you do? Finally, keep being in faith. I'm patient with the Lord. Faith with patience is how you obtain the promise. Joseph knew that. He fret not. He was not afraid. He was faithful. At the end, guess what, brothers and sisters? Joseph became the prime minister of Egypt. The prime minister of Egypt. Some of us, you see our life going like this. Before you know, one problem, another problem. Calm down now. We are going somewhere. If they don't sell you to slavery, how will you meet Potiphar? Now, if Potiphar's wife did not do what she did, how will you get into the prison? If you didn't get out into the prison, how will you meet that man that God is about to release to go and announce you? Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? Say, my life is just like this. I don't know why. It's like that for a reason. Listen, you got into slavery because you are supposed to end up in Egypt. Yeah, you got into Potiphar's house because you are supposed to survive for a while with that job. But that's not God's best. That's not God's best. I'm telling you, that's not God's best. Some of you think the $700,000 job is the best God can do. How he will help you sometimes is that they sack you. And when they sack you, you start making some research and meet somebody. And the person will ask you, what do you know? And when you talk the thing, the person will be so shocked that you even accepted a job of 700. You know, they sack one of my ladies in this church. And I told her, I said, you're going to get a better job. The next job she had, they said, choose your salary. When they saw the qualification, what did they say? Choose your salary. That's one of the things Satan used to keep many Christians weighed down. What I'm trying to say is that you are declaring God's word every day. Before you know it, situations and trials, you cannot eat well, you cannot sleep well, there is no food, they sack you from your job. Be in faith. Somebody told me recently, he got a car, gave somebody the car. Before you know, the person carried the car to another location. You know, to be traveling Abuja to Makurdi. New car. The person then carried and took goods to Kano. And while he was coming back, he had an accident and the car trembled. And the car scattered into pieces. And the person too had an injury that they needed to even cut his hand. And it was his last money he carried to do such a thing. He then came to me. And guess what? The person is a family member. I was saying, go and collect your money. He now said, family member. He said, they advised him in the family to calm down, let the person's health be okay, and finally they have to even cut his hand. I started thinking, no matter what he wants to do, he will be wondering, he will be considering. But he has lost a big amount of money. A huge amount of money. At that point, what do you tell that kind of person? You tell the person, calm down, just focus. Jesus will do it again. It's true, Jesus will do it again. But the Bible says, count it all joy. You know, 3 million means so much to you, right? If I give you 3 million, will you jump? Huh? Am I going too far? If I send you 500k in your account, how many of you will jump and say, Father, Pastor, I thank you, sir? That means if you lose 500,000 now, how many of you will cry if you lose 500,000 now? Some are saying I'll cry. Some are saying, Pastor, that's just chicken change. For you saying it's chicken change, there's an amount that will make you cry too. Everybody has an amount that can make them cry if they lose it. So you now calling 500 chicken change. Now let's say you lose 10 million. You may faint. You think that money is so big. I used to think like that too. Until I lost some big amount of money. It made my heart shrunk. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? If I receive 200 million now, you will not see me laugh better than now. I know somebody will say, Pastor, you are proud. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not a poor person, though. But if you give me 200 million now, I will not laugh better than I'm laughing now. I'll still be asking you, what's our next program like? Riches without, how did they put it? Riches without outreach is wretchedness. Riches without outreaches is wretchedness. When we have money, see, when we're talking about money now, right? Money is for impact. Not to be spent and say, I want to marry and have children and take care of their school. You are a greedy man with a small vision. You have a very small vision. Think of something bigger than your life. The new creation mandate. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? We want to change the world. If I give you 150 million now, you know exactly what you do. If I have 200 million now, I'll build church. I'll finish the cathedral. I will invest everything for God's work. The remaining one, I'll invest in my life. I know some people say, Pastor, will you invest? Or I'll leave some, I'll invest in my life when I'm done with God's work. Yes, I'm being real with you. So that as the money keeps on coming, and I keep on giving God. What else will I use money for? Riches without is what? Richness. But there are some people that, as they are thinking of 200 million now, is Dorime. God can never give you that money. You only get that money by Yahoo. That's the only way. If God is not at the center of your heart, you only get that money by what? Yahoo. Or by stealing. That's why some of them that don't want to work hard want to become politicians. I'm not saying anybody that's becoming a politician does not want to work hard, but you know what I'm talking about. You think that money is big, but God thinks you deserve better. In conclusion, and I'm speaking about your days of glory, it has come. Start making your heart strong. And in making your heart strong, in fact, one of the ways you make your heart strong for resources, financial resources, is by giving. It is givers that never lack. One of the ways to build the muscles of your heart to receiving from God is by giving. Whatever you don't give, you don't have authority over. Not just to God or church, to your friends, your father. You know, I've called a few people sometimes. One time I called a pastor. I said, the Lord said, when last did you buy something for your father? He says, I don't think I've ever bought anything for my father. I said, go and buy your father something that will make him bless you. And be doing it every time. And I'm talking to all of you now. One of the ways you become strong, go and start buying something for your father or mother. I know people are saying, Pastor, you're calling only father. Mother too. Or somebody that has been helping you with school fees. Are you listening to me? They will be shocked, but they'll be very excited. I don't know what these two ladies have been discussing in that place here. Yeah? What are you people discussing? You are preaching another sermon. Hallelujah to Jesus. Go and buy something for somebody. Go back home today and write, ask your father, sir, what is your suit size? If he likes suit. Or coat size. If He prefers coach. Some of you go back home and send recharge card. If yes, student, send recharge card for your father. You know, today I saw Happy Mother's Day, and I'm wondering how many times. The last time I refused to celebrate, I almost didn't want to celebrate International Women's Day. I said, how many things are we celebrating for women? International Local Women's Day, Mother's Day, Mother's Day Promise, Sister's Day, Auntie's Day. Which one are we celebrating for ourselves? You just see Happy Monday, Monday, finish. Everything, and they'll celebrate us anyhow. God bless you. That's all. If it's them now, you hear sweet mother, I don't gonna forget you. Well, I've never heard sweet father, I don't gonna forget you. Because they've tagged this picture of father is useless, father is stupid, father is this one. Fathers are good. Fathers are good. And that's why I have this feeling in my heart, go back and do something wonderful for your father. Your mothers have been deceiving you. Go and celebrate your father. Are you listening to me? I heard a secular song. The guy was singing and said he wished he has time to dance with his father, but it's too late. And when I heard the song, it touched me. I told myself, I'm going to do something beautiful for my dad. Not that when your dad is no more, you'll not be thinking, Kai, daddy was trying. No. He was the one. Some of you don't care how the hell your father is doing what he's doing. You are just expecting your school fees next semester. Somehow next semester the house rent must come. I just have a feeling. Do something wonderful for your father. It's part of a prophetic word. So like I said, one of the beautiful ways to make your heart strong is that you give. And I've advised you on the direction to give today. Not mothers, so go and give your fathers. Just for this season. Women, say amen. I'm not against men and women. I'm just saying for this. Have we not been doing beautiful things for our... And if your father is not alive, do it for your mom. No problem. Let your mom enjoy. But if your father is alive, don't give your mom. It's an instruction. Give only your father. If she say, what of my own? Say your own. I've been coming every time. Send only for your dad and tell him, send him a beautiful message. You will not die. Dad, you are the most special person. Blah, 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 blah. Just talk all those things that people used to talk. Make him feel very important. Are you listening to me tonight? What a way to make your heart strong again. Give to people in need. I'll bring the church in lastly. But give to people in need. You have a friend that truly needs something. Some of them are not lying. Give to them. I'm not talking about the Borrowers Limited Borrowers Organization of Nigeria. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about friends who truly need something. And you know they need it. Not Borrowers Association of Nigeria. That's not the people I'm talking about. So that they'll think I'm trying to give them a reason to leverage and go and, you know, start borrowing. If it's them, after this service, they'll contact you. You heard what Pastor said, right? I'm talking about real people that really need something. So go back and make the best of whatever you have learned tonight. Bow your heads and pray. Only Yeshua will reign forever. To his kingdom there will be no end.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's Word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays, first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.